You've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? Our aim is to point you to Jesus. Your investment in His Will Ministry helps to spread God's Word around the world through this radio program and other outreaches. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you, and here's Pastor Warner.
Now, we've been talking about belief. We have to go back to our two key verses. Mark chapter 5, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now, this, of course, was in the case where the ruler had come to Jesus to have his daughter healed, and the people were saying that it can't be done, and Jesus said, "All you have to do is believe." And then the second verse I want us to keep holding on to is Matthew 17, chapter 17, verse 20. And Jesus said to them, "Because of your little faith, for truly I tell you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to here,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you." I want those two verses to continue to be part of our philosophy. As Christians, we have to hold on to that one. God slapped me with that one when all of a sudden I found out that the main company that was our bread and butter had been sold. Well, the human side of me went into the worry mode. The what if mode. What if this happens? Then this will happen. What if that happens? This will happen. And the Lord said, "Jay, remember, don't be afraid, only believe." So, over the last 3 or 4 days, the Lord has kind of worked on me to say, if you know, practice what you preach. You've heard that old one people say about preachers and other people. Well, practice what you preach. Well, God's been beating on my head saying, "Jay, practice what you preach." And yes, I am still on the mountain kick. I honestly believe when Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here to here,' and it shall be done, and nothing shall be impossible for you." I believe we can move mountains. I believe anybody in this room, if they have enough faith, can pick a mountain up and throw it in the ocean. I believe that any of us, if we can manage to get that much faith. But the problem is, we don't have the power of God's full manifestations because of our finite thoughts. Now think about that. We don't have the power of God's full manifestations because of our finite thoughts. Scientists say that the human being uses only 7% of his brain. That means there's 93% of nothingness up here. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd really like to think maybe I could squeeze it out to 8. But that still leaves me with 92% that's on autopilot. Now, can you imagine what would happen if maybe we could use 10 or 12% just for belief? But because of our finite thoughts, we can't move the mountain because we can't conceive of it. No matter how hard we stare at that mountain out there, it's almost, not impossible, almost on our own to see that mountain move, to even think about it moving, because it's never been done. And we are limited only by our lack of belief. I'm going to read this story because I love this story. This is about a doctor who was working in a South American country. He'd been there for off and on for years, and he had experienced, you know, good times, bad times, miracles, but still, he was a Christian, a good Christian man. One night, I had worked hard to help a mother in the labor ward. But in spite of all that we could do, she died, leaving us with a tiny premature baby and a crying two-year-old daughter. Not only did they have a baby now on their hands with no mother, but he had a baby and a two-year-old daughter. We would have difficulty keeping the baby alive as we had no incubator. They had no incubator because they had no electricity. We also had no special feeding facilities. Although we lived on the equator, nights were often chilly with treacherous drafts. One student midwife went for the box, which we had for such babies, and the cotton wool the baby would be wrapped in. Another went to stoke up the fire to fill the hot water bottle. She came back shortly in distress to tell me that in filling the bottle, it had burst. Rubber perishes easily in the tropical climates, and it is our last hot water bottle, she exclaimed. As in the West, it was no good crying over spilt milk. So in Central Africa, it might be considered no good crying over burst water bottles. They do not grow on trees, and there are no drugstores down forest pathways. Think about that. Just up to that point, we're so used to that. As Americans, something breaks, we just go out and get it. Power goes off, we whine a little bit, we pick up the phone, we call the electric company, it comes back on. We need some groceries, we go to the grocery store. Well, when you're in the middle of Africa, in the middle of a rainforest, and a water bottle breaks, it's a catastrophe. All right, I said, put the baby as near the fire, to the fire as you can safely can, and sleep between the baby and the door to keep it free from drafts. Your job is to keep the baby warm. The following noon, as I did most days, I went to have prayers with any orphan children who chose to gather with me. I gave the youngsters various suggestions of things to pray about, and I told them about the tiny baby. I explained our problem about keeping the baby warm enough, mentioning the hot water bottle. The baby could so easily die if it got the chills. I also told them of the two-year-old sister crying because her mother had died. During our prayer time, one 10-year-old girl, Ruth, prayed with the unusual blunt consensus of our African children. She said, "Please, God, send us a water bottle." But she didn't go that far. She says, "Please, God, send us a water bottle. It'll do no good tomorrow. The baby will be dead. So send it this afternoon." While I gasped inwardly at the audacity of this prayer, she added, by the way, "While you're at it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so she'll know that you really love her?" As often with children's prayers, I was put on the spot. I could honestly say, "Amen." I just did not believe that God could do this. Oh, yes, I know He can do anything and everything. The Bible says so. But there are limits, aren't there? The only way God could answer this particular prayer would be by sending me a parcel from the homeland. And I had been in Africa for almost 4 years at the time and had never, ever received a parcel from home. Anyway, if anyone did send me a parcel, who would put in a hot water bottle? I lived on the equator. Halfway through the new afternoon, I was teaching in the nurses' training school, and a message was sent that there was a car at my front door. By the time I reached home, the car was gone, but there on the veranda was a large 22-pound parcel. I felt tears prickling my eyes. I could not open the parcel alone, so I sent for the orphanage children, and together we pulled off the string, carefully undoing each knot. We folded the paper, taking care not to tear it unduly. Excitement was mounting. Some 30 or 40 pairs of eyes were focused on this large cardboard box. From the top, I lifted out brightly colored knitted jerseys. Eyes sparkled as I gave them out. There were knitted bandages for the leprosy patients, and the children looked a little bored. Then came a box of mixed raisins and some cannas that would be for a bunch of buns for the weekend. Then as I put my hand again in, I felt, could it be? I grasped it and pulled it out. Yes, a brand new hot rubber water bottle. I had not asked God to send it, and I had not truly believed that He could. Ruth was in the front row of the children, and she rushed forward crying out, "If God could send this bottle, He must have sent a dolly too." Rummaging down to the bottom of the box, she pulled out a small, beautiful dress dolly. Her eyes shone. She had never doubted. She looked up at me and said, "Can I go over with you, Mommy, and give this dolly to the little girl?" So she'd know that Jesus really loves her. The parcel had been on the way for months, packed by a former Sunday school teacher whose leader had heard and obeyed God's prompting to send a hot water bottle even to the equator. One of the girls had put a dolly in for an African child 5 months before in answer to a believing prayer of a 10-year-old child that afternoon. Isaiah 65:24, "Before they call, I will answer." God already knows what we need. God knows everything. He knows what we need. He sees what we need. And many times the answer to the prayers have already started before we ever ask them. To me, I love this story because it's true. But God is so good that He knew, and we think, wow, God knew 5 months ahead of time? This is the Creator of the universe. It's no problem for God to know 5 months ahead of time that a little girl is going to ask for a hot water bottle and for her faith to make it happen. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." Did Jesus mean that the kingdom of God was made up when we're taken? Are we going to become little children? Is that our new bodies? Because we're told we will have a new body in heaven. Not the earthly body, a new body. So did Jesus mean that, oh, we're all going to become little kids? There's a few people who have a bent theology that believe that. But no. Jesus meant that we have to become like the little children in our faith. We had 5 kids. And I know as our kids grew up, if Daddy told them to jump, and Daddy was standing there with his hands out, they didn't doubt. They just jumped because they knew Dad was going to catch him. Unless I did that, which I never did. But they knew. And that's what we need to do. We need to have that faith. We need to be in constant pursuit of all the power of God. We can't get anywhere in this life as Christians unless we're in constant pursuit of God's power. And the only way we could get in constant pursuit of God's power is to be constantly in His living Word. Because our contact with God is through His living Word. He gave us the Bible, full and complete. It says, "Do not add unto, do not remove from, for the penalty shall be great." And it's just not in Revelation. That's several places in the Bible it tells us, "Do not add unto, do not subtract from these words, for the penalty shall be great." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And I like the King James here. I've got the New King James, but I'm going to put it back into the King James. "Study and show thyself approved unto God, a worker not ashamed, and rightfully dividing the word of truth." Paul's telling us what? That to be approved of God, we have to do what? We have to study the Word. This book. This is God's Word from beginning to end. God used select people to write it, but this is His Word to us, the living Word. This is just not a book. This is just not something that we sit down and we read because it's a really good novel. This is God's words to us. This is God's speaking to us. And this is why Paul says, "Study and show thyself approved, a righteous workman, rightly dividing the truth, not ashamed." When I study God's Word, and it took me many years to get to this point, but when I study the Word, My prayer is for the Holy Spirit to make this alive. You know, we refer to this as the Living Word. You know, we even have a translation called the Living Bible. And how many of us believe this book is alive? Come on. There we go. Now we go. The Word that's in it. I ask God when I read this, I say, God, let the Holy Spirit make it alive to me. I want Your Word to be alive. I want to be there. I've never had the privilege of going to the Promised Land. I'd love to. I'd love to walk where the apostles have walked because I've known men that have done it. I'd love to be able to stand at Calvary, but I don't think I could handle it. So I ask God to make His Word alive to me when I study. And there's many times when I'm deep in study that I'm there. The Holy Spirit takes my mind and my body and transports me to whatever I'm studying. And I am there. I am there when Jesus is walking on the water. I am there when Ezekiel's about ready to freak out because he's seeing these wheels upon wheels coming out of him out of the sky. God's Word is alive and vibrant and can be well in this nation if we let it. But we have to let it. We have to hear it. Can you imagine when Peter got out of the boat and started walking on water? Could you imagine being there? What it would have liked to have been there? Especially if we knew something. As a kid, I always thought time machines would be great. I thought, man, wouldn't it be great to have a time machine? You could just go anywhere you want. I could picture me. I'm standing in the boat and I know he's going to sink. I read it. I know what's going to happen. I'm sitting there, no, Peter, keep your eyes on Jesus. No, don't look. No, don't do that. Just, oh, Peter. Or I'd be even worse. I'd be going, Peter, Peter, he's my man. If anybody can walk on water, Peter can, you know. My wife asked me, we were talking about that, and she says, but could you go to Calvary if you knew it was going to happen? I've seen several videos that are very dramatic about the Savior's death. And I can barely watch those. I'm a weenie, I'll tell you. I can't handle it. I mean, I can handle pain pretty well, but the Savior's pain, it's very hard for me to even see. But the only way that we can go forward is to go into. We're told, do not be afraid, only believe. We have passed, you and I, have passed from death into life. Everybody that's a newborn Christian knows we've passed from death into life. And as passing from death into life, we're now heirs with God. And we're joint heirs with Jesus. No one in here would dispute that point with me. I hope. But we are heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus in the measure in which we believe His Word. Now think about those words. We have passed from life to death when we accepted Christ and we were baptized into the body of Christ. That makes us a joint heir with Jesus and an heir to God through Jesus. But we are limited in that heirship, by the amount to which we believe His Word. We have to believe to go forward. We have to know Him to go forward. If Mary and I never talk, we just live in the same house and we never talk, we never communicate, I'm not going to know a whole lot about this woman. But if we communicate all the time, we'll know what each one thinks, what each one desires. Well, we can communicate to God two ways. We can study His personality, His traits, His love, His being upset through our Bible and the Living Word, and we can talk to Him. are two channels. And if we don't believe this word, if we don't believe that everything in here is true, then for each little piece that we're missing, that's that much further we're separated from God. Because if I come in here and preach to you and say, I'm the pastor now of Mountain View, and you all know me very well, and I come in here and preach to you, and I preach to you things about the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you see me on the street, and you see that I'm not living what I'm preaching, that I'm not working what I'm preaching, you're going to do this. You're going to grow away from me because you're going to know that the person that stands up here and preaches the gospel to you is not the real person. And same thing with God and His Son Jesus. If He preaches His words to us but we don't listen or we don't believe Him, what's going to happen? We're going to move away from Him. And He's going to be there. He says He never moves away from us. So it has to be us moving away from Him. And as we do that, our beliefs focus on other things. We start believing in other things. Mark chapter 4, verse 22 through 25. Jesus is talking here and He says, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor is there anything being kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear will be given more. For whoever has, to him will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away." So Jesus is saying here that there's many things that were hidden in this book. They were hidden from His disciples until He explained them to them. They were hidden from the common people because they weren't to know. That's why He spoke in parables. But as we study God's Word, He says, "Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light." The Holy Spirit was given as the Comforter, the Instructor, the Empowerer. He is the one that will open God's Word a bit by bit by bit. But He also says, anyone has ears, let him hear. We have to listen. Just like I was telling you earlier, when I study, I pray, Holy Spirit, make this Word alive to me. Bring something to my mind that I need to hear. And then I just read and study and hear. And I can't explain it, but the Lord will bring verses. I can read a chapter a dozen times, and then when the Lord wants a specific verse to be personal for me, I will study that chapter and that verse will stand out and just be like I have received a revelation from heaven itself that day. And it always is just when you need it. Whether it's for you personally, or you have some friend that needs it, or something else, it's always just when you need it, if you'll listen. He will open the Word. But He also says here, with the same measure you use, will it be measured unto you. And to you that hear, will you be given more. The other versions, what they say is that, put it into practice. Use it. And if you do, you will be given more with it. What measure you use, it'll be measured unto you. So if we take God's Word and we study it and put it into practice, the more we come out with it, the more we put it into practice in our lives, the more we'll receive of it. The more we'll understand it. The more God will, so to speak, hide it in our hearts. Have you ever heard of Jack Van Appy? I love this guy. He has the whole Bible memorized. Every single word of the King James Bible memorized. You can quote any verse to him and he will instantly be able to recite that verse to you. I am so jealous. I know, jealousy's a sin, but I just would, oh, so much love to be like that. So, to have greater access to God's Word and God's power, we have to do what? We have to act. We have to go forward. It's kind of like a big circle. I always say that God puts us on these big circles. And we start up here, and He has a lesson for us to learn. And if we learn the lesson, we go around to a different circle. But if we don't learn the lesson, eventually we get to the top of this one. And then we start all the way around again. But this time it's different people, different circumstances, different times. But the exact, if we look back in our lives, it's the exact same lesson that God wants us to learn. It's kind of like me when I prayed for patience. It took 4 years of big circles before I finally got to the top of one and realized, oh yes, okay Lord, I'll just, your timing's perfect. And every time I tell God, your timing's perfect, bam, things happen. But any time I'm trying to do something, the Lord says, Jay, you've learned that lesson, don't start over again. Same thing here. It's like a circle. If we get to the top of this circle and we have believed what we have studied, we have believed what we see, God sets us into the next thing and He gives us more knowledge for the next round. Gives us more power. Gives us more ability to do it. He says, do not worry what words you will speak, for they will be given to you when you need them. Paul tells us this. Jesus said it. He's referring to that when we believe, when we trust, when we complete the first circle, the power goes up and up. And when we need it, the words are there that we need. Faith is an act. It's a changing. And if we dare to believe God's living Word, He'll move us and He'll change our situations. But our purpose in life actually is to let the Holy Ghost work through us so that we can glorify God. And that's it. That's our purpose in life, is to let the Holy Ghost work through us so that we can glorify God. When we become Christians, when we say, Lord, I accept You and I want to be part of Your kingdom, we really have no other job as a Christian but to be fruitful and multiply. Now, Jesus says some of us are going to be 30, some of us are going to be 90, some of us are going to be 100%. Jesus never said, I expect you to be, you know, another Billy Graham. He just said, as a Christian, be fruitful and multiply.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.